You've got a son to set a good example for. You've even got a partner slash family, it sounds like. It almost sounds like you've found yourself in a life wherein you've settled into roles that were carved out by Western religion. You've stuck around for your child. You're in a monogamous relationship. You're doing what's expected of you in society. You have no concubines. You're eating fats and salts and sugars like only a king could imagine 1,300 years ago. But what if you challenged what was expected of you? What if you were forced to challenge what was expected of you? What if you were born with deformed nostril, 4 feet 10 inches tall, fully grown, and forced into an orphanage until you left at 18 without a dime to your name and an 11th grade education? What if every time you left your room to go shopping for food, other men looked at you with a judgmental teeny corner lip smile as if they saw right through your blank face into the sad, small, deformed man you feel inside? And you start to look back on all of your friendships and you realize how dependent they were on pity, or how some of your friends just kept you around because you made them feel superior. They even used you as a stepping stone to date many of the girls you cared about, the girls you wanted to date. And you look around and all you can see is the inherent competition in everything sold to us as good. You realize that most people would rate money before any other trait they're looking for in a partner. You look at the bullies that you used to make fun of for being arrogant, self-assured, selfish, greedy, and they all have children, girlfriends, and wives. You turn on the news and the entire hour block is about minorities getting scholarships and tax dollars going to free childcare for those who have sons and daughters of their own and wars being waged over resources and land and people and money and assets. Bombings of elementary schools and churches over borders and weapons trades. You turn on the TV and watch a documentary on lions and you watch a weak lion get murdered by a gigantic male lion. You turn off the TV, walk outside, and go to pet your neighbor's dog, but it cowers like it always does, droops its head, and rolls over to expose its neck and belly, an innate, instinctual submissive reaction programmed into what is essentially a machine that only knows a handful of tasks. You pick up a magazine on psychology on the picnic table outside, and it's all about neurochemistry. How sugar releases the same dopamine that sex and winning the lottery does. And studies show that people in love live longer. You can find faith in the structure obtained by the rules and morals within the stories in the Bible before you find faith in the existence of the Bible's God. Once you have faith in the system of being that emerges from the stories of the Bible, and you understand that it also means having faith in human decency and contributing to that decency as an individual by telling the truth, doing what is right and just and best for yourself and your family or for your community, or doing what is best for your future family. And you finally begin to understand that this is what the Bible calls God's will, then you begin to understand accepting God's will as your own will. Once you understand that accepting God's will into you is synonymous with making sacrifices to better yourself and to better the world and for your family, then you can't help but have faith in the system you've just accepted into yourself. In that way, you accept God into yourself. You accept that motivation and excitement into yourself, the Holy Spirit, and once you've lived long enough to really marry doing what is right for yourself and for the world to the best of your ability, you begin to see it in others, and in the next generation and the next. And that's a slice of heaven. That's eternal life. You've joined something worth aligning yourself with that can never be entirely forgotten. Striving for the good. Be careful of people who are so locked into systems of thought that they quote others more than they think themselves is all I'm getting at. Ideology is dangerous territory. Be careful of anyone that uses ideology to answer all questions. Thoughts have them, they don't have thoughts. You may have been programmed to coexist with someone who's utilizing ideology in this manner. All I'm suggesting is that you seek out partners that aren't inundated with such programming. Partners that filter moral, ethical, fiscal, and general theoretical questions through a pragmatic approach, based on their own personal experiences, not through rigid ideological systems based deeply on power exchange. 1. Rules change. It is better to be grandfathered in. 2. I could amuse slash bore you with anecdotes about the Florida FRS pension system and how rule changes harmed people, or the same with the U.S. federal employees retirement system slash FERS, but how much would these examples matter to you? Often we might float an idea to see if there is something that has been missed, but you miss nothing. 3. More philosophically though, do you have a particular inclination or gut feeling very often? How often is your particular inclination or gut feeling correct or incorrect? About something on which you have an informed opinion, can you trust your informed opinion? What is your track record of doing so? For personally, my lifetime, gut feeling accuracy on issues and people is at about 80% correct and greater than 98% correct during the last 5 years of my life with regard to persons and organizations. Truly mainstream people are often inside the bubble, and they are followers, and often they have no informed opinion and no inclination. They wander around a darkened room with earplugs in and mittens on. If this is the case, then life is just a crapshoot where one usually assumes that all is good, or maybe the lumpen proletariat lives in perpetual fear and ignorance, and they simply try to play the odds in order to try and lay it safe. 5. Would you rather have some mainstream analysis on the trending of pension policy, or would you rather consider slash value the framework under which you make your decisions? One's worldview, acknowledged as such or blithely ignored as an article of faith, actually much more important. An example, a member of my team overpaid $100,000 for his house thereabouts of 2007. I told him we were in a bubble and that the house was too expensive for his income. He then told me the metrics of salary to housing had changed. He was literally being no more than a parrot. I asked him, when did it change, and why did it change, and since this was just mainstream PR, of course there were no answers. The actual truth is that unless there are circumstances, an international market, retiree or expat influx, the average house price can never exceed the average income for very long. It took he and his girlfriend slash wife 5 years of reduced quality of life to save $80,000, and it got flushed down the toilet completely due to his limited slash mainstream perspective. He had access to thousands of pages and hundreds of hours of analysis, but not a minute of it made a difference, because his mainstream worldview ruined everything. The remaining items are personal slash philosophical, and are the big picture items behind hashtag 1-3. 6. I am a statistician and I keep track of my assessments, sometimes formally or informally. I don't have gut feelings about the stock market or exchange trading. That is fortune telling in my world, since I don't have an expert/informed opinion. Apparently, George Soros does operate in this manner, in these venues, with rather obvious success. With regard to people, I have never been shafted by any human I have interacted with where I did not have my inclination/gut feeling/spidey senses activated beforehand. Nowadays, I trust my judgment completely, and the results are amazing, but sometimes this means I am a bit direct or curt. The vast majority of men, and an even percent of women, were born followers, they took the blue pill, and they are unthinking mainstream droids who do not value liberty or independent thought. 90% of mainstream talk and thought is distraction, 90% of the time, and most people can be chided or bamboozled into about anything, as Stanley Milgram and Bob Altmaier and dozens if not hundreds of other researchers have shown. Insights are often about being non-mainstream, but a person's mental framework is overwhelmingly genetic. The vast majority of people, 85 to 93%, are not coerced by the group, they are mainstream, and they actively seek the security of the group, because they have no insight into life, no discipline, and no personality. This means most people are like ersatz humans, more like living zombies actually. We usually tend to think others are like ourselves just with some different education, experiences, or progression of knowledge, but if one is non-mainstream or counterculture or a self-starter, then nothing could be further from the truth. Actual, non-mainstream slash counterculture persons withdraw support from the rotten portions of the main culture, poor quality, poor service, poor behavior slash responsibility, and to me this means no Wells Fargo or Bank of America, no Walmart, no Budweiser, no to pesticides, no to most all chain stores and corporate food, and a big no to slave-made products and poorly made products, and no to a prestige car, and no to an unsustainable big status house in the suburbs, and a no to the scam that is present-day marriage. Further, since I live presently in the US, I buy US-made items as a proactive choice when possible, and other quality and or dependable slash sustainable slash organic products, and I put a little effort into it, since the unexamined life is literally not worth living. I have been doing this for 30 years. I follow no trend without compelling reasons or personal joy. 90% of my dollars are not spent in the manner of the average schmuck. Let us consider the topic of seeing movies. The majority of people are mainstream, and another vast, and overlapping, majority go see idiotic movies. The desire to see idiotic movies is an IQ issue, and the desire to see a mainstream film is a worldview issue. Both are overwhelmingly genetic, and neither can be changed meaningfully. The outcome is bad movies. My coworker in number 5 followed the mainstream trends on saving and house buying, and the outcome was wasting 80K as well as years in the prime of his life. He is just wired to make decisions that way. Because maybe the creator didn't create it to be novel to the creator. The creator created it to be novel to the agents within. Now assume we are living in a pseudo-reality within the creator, but outside the boundaries of knowing determinism, outside the boundaries of knowing God, or the programmer, or the program, right? Now assume that within the creator's reality, this commune of individuals struggling with individualism and collectivism, never knowing determinism, never knowing omniscience, duality of personality with a single self, immortality, never knowing what it's like to be the start of all, the only known superpower, the only instance of limitlessness and omnipotence. Could this be a rope outside itself for a being of this nature? A chance to lend beings a break from the pressure of what is. What if the sum of all calculations determine that, despite how cruel it seems to us, for a creator to create limited beings that will eventually meet the death of their individual selves, it was deemed benevolent. More benevolent to allow it than to not. What if the creator calculated that creating beings free from the knowledge of all things, whom could operate knowing the sensation of individual perspective, was a benevolent act? What if our minds are organized in such a way that we would always find archetype, we would always create these same religions in unlimited instances, because these stories are eternal archetypes of the story of the human mind, the human condition. And what if while we're all individually displaying free agency, we are impregnated by the creator's multiplicity of selves? Could we then find solace in knowing that what we experience as individual consciousness, personality, is in fact a segregation of the nature of the creator, but within the bounds of limitation?